Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today is, again, Monday, August the 24th. So September's almost here.
That's right.
And we'll have some cooler days throughout much of the country. We will appreciate it.
We live in hope.
Yeah. Usually in the Deep South, fall gets here about the middle of September, doesn't
it? Yeah.
At least the fall-ish.
Yes.
Weather.
Fall-ish.
Fall-ish.
Yeah.
Weather.
There's a psychological thing, too. It's September. So we know the worst is over as far as heat goes.
Yeah. Although, you know, I try to say, you'll never hear me complain about heat.
No.
Because I save my complaining for cold.
Yeah. And winter. Have you seen the predictions?
And the winter. I don't know. Am I going to like this or not, what you're about to say?
You're not going to like this. If you don't like cold,
we got the Farmer's Almanac. You pulled out the Farmer's Almanac.
They are predicting dire straits as far as cold weather for northern Mississippi. Going to be one of the coldest winters.
No.
I do not receive this.
No. I am a charismatic right now. I do not receive what you just said, Fred. I reject that.
You may need a tour to Australia around January or February.
It's summer down there.
Listen, I can handle 4 weeks. And that's it. That's all. January, and then I got to have some relief.
Okay.
From cold weather. And I know people who live up north are laughing when we define, quote, cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
What's cold weather? Cold weather.
I have lived.
Okay, go ahead.
I have lived in minus 30.
By the way, Steve Paisley Jordahl is with us.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning, Steve. Who's
morning.
Also lived in cold weather.
I have.
Yes. Hey, we'll let him, go ahead, Fred.
But in New Brunswick, Canada, where we lived for a while, I can remember a stretch of 2 to 3 weeks where it was minus 15, minus 20. Wind chill factors taking it way beyond that. That was tough.
What are you?
Colorado Springs. It didn't get that cold for that long. It did get that cold maybe once or twice when I was there for 15 years. But here's what I remember. We had a blizzard one time. I was supposed to sing in the praise team at church, and I made my way there as the blizzard was starting. By the time church was supposed to roll around, it was snowing really bad, and they canceled church. But I was stuck at the church. So I got there about 7 o'clock, and it didn't let up until about 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And this is how bad it got. I had a four-wheel drive Jeep. I thought, you know, I can get out to my Jeep, and I can do this four-wheel drive. I can do this. I couldn't. I found the Jeep, but on my way back, I missed the church building by about 20 yards because it was so dense that I couldn't see. It was like blinding. I was walking back, and fortunately, God had mercy on me, and the snow let up just so that I could see the church on my right, about 10 yards.
You're talking about you're walking outside?
I'm walking outside.
From the parking lot.
To the parking lot.
Oh, I got you.
Get into my car.
Wow.
I was going to go home. I thought I have a Jeep. I have a.
Right.
I can do this. But no, it was so hard. Such a, oh my gosh.
You know, in Mississippi, Steve, you were talking about Colorado right there.
Yes.
When we use the term blizzard.
Uh-huh.
It means Dairy Queen.
Yes.
They have a blizzard.
Indeed.
A Dairy Queen. So Fred, I hope that prediction does not come to pass. Because I don't like... Anyway, you got to have a little winter to appreciate the warmth, I know. But still, I don't want to see that what you're talking about. Like weeks and weeks of cold weather. Cold weather, to me, I define that as if the daytime temperature doesn't go over 40... And that's cold to me. Maybe 45, but 40 certainly. If it doesn't go over 40, 42, then I got to call that cold.
Dig out your parka, Tim.
Huh?
Dig out the parka.
Yeah. The parka?
The parka. The big heavy jacket.
Oh, the big heavy jacket. Okay. Why didn't you call it the big heavy jacket? Yeah. So, is that what you call it?
Parka.
Parka. Okay.
Yeah. Nice hood and everything.
All right. So you're listening to today's issue. So Steve, what's our first story?
It has happened.
What's happened?
The world record of 9.58 seconds set in 2009 by Usain Bolt for the 100-meter dash has been broken.
Seriously?
Yes. I'm going to show you the race. By the way, you can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can see this. The story there. But
that's like not even human.
No, it isn't, in fact. It's the... you can push play on that
Who
video.
Broke it? Who broke the... It's a 100-meter sprint, right?
It is. And I don't know if this robot has a name, but it happened...
Oh, wait a minute. We're not talking about a human. We're talking about a robot.
In the World Humanoid Robot Games that are going on.
Those are real. China.
China. Yes.
But, I mean, they are... they are getting coordinated. So a robot actually broke the record, and they did. They had other events like a standing high jump. The humanoid robot, the world record for a standing high jump is 3 foot, one and a little over 3.1 foot, 1 inch. This robot jumped 9 feet in the air. So it's not really fair, but they're having the humanoid robot games in China. This is some, you know, if they're going to take over, not only are they going to be smarter than you, but they're going to be able to outrun you.
Yeah.
I was watching Fox and Friends this morning. Lawrence Jones, one of the co-hosts, he was very serious in his reaction to this because they showed that video.
Yeah,
and he said, "We cannot have this. We cannot allow this. We cannot be creating these things that can do these things," and very concerned about that and what it means for the human race. But you know what? I think it's kind of like data centers and everything else we've been talking about. You cannot stop this. You cannot stop this.
Yeah, who's going to watch this?
I don't know if they'll watch it. I'd watch it for a little bit just because it's interesting.
Well, to see those robots out there running around.
Playing ping pong and
soccer. Do the robots, do they high-five each other when they do well?
Some of them do. Some of them dance. They've programmed celebration into some of them.
I think one of the things that's coming about is that we're going to see these robots as soldiers,
Yeah.
Because they showed at these games, they showed this robot doing a crawl underneath the wiring and that sort of thing, which is what you do. I tell you what, that's when. And by the way, you'd be interested in this. They did a live hit this morning from the Air Force
Academy. I saw the Air Force Academy.
Air Force Academy
in
Colorado.
One of my favorite places in the world.
And there were robots. Not people robots, but machine robots that were being used in training there. So it's coming.
I have a question about that, though. If all of Russia's robots come and beat all of our robots, or what? Did they win the war? Or do we just have to give up then, or what? I mean, what's the point? Robots killing robots.
Yeah, I know. You know, you just wonder where all of this is going. But well, here's what we do know. They are being developed for all of these tasks. They're being developed. So where it's going to take us, it's the brave new world.
All right, next story, Steve.
All right, this is a sad story there. In Mandan, North Dakota, there was a woman named Kaylee Earhart who...
Where did this take place?
Mandan, M-A-N-D-A-N, North Dakota. And she has been accused of killing her two children in what they think may be a copycat of the Lindsay Clancy crime that there's a trial now. And she killed two of her children, a 3-year-old and a 5-month-old, and a 1-year-old was left in critical condition. But this shocked me. I went to look at how many copycats there might have been. Do you know, according to research, which I have a copy of here, that there are about 2,942 arrests per year of parents who are accused of killing their children?
How many?
Almost 3,000.
across the United States.
Yes. They have had, this is a study, I have the study here from a health journal, and they had 94,000, it's called filicide arrests over a 32-year period. I'm shocked. I had no idea.
Well, you do have 350 million people that are something like that, 330 million people that live in the U.S., but still that seems like a, you know, you see these, they're almost daily reports from somewhere around the country where, I'm just wondering if a parent kills their own kids.
Yeah.
Or murder suicides. Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you have domestic problems and then they kill the whole family. It's just, you just wonder how much drugs are involved in this because it makes people get, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
And this is what this Lindsey Clancy case is all about right now. They're into the final days of this trial in Massachusetts. In case we may have some folks not familiar with this story, this is a woman and there's no question about this, she killed her three kids. This is a case of postpartum psychosis. And it's very important. Many women have postpartum blues.
Depression, it sounds.
Depression.
And it's very real.
Yes. For several weeks after giving birth to a baby. So we're not talking about that in particular in this case. We're talking about the psychosis side of this. That being someone who becomes totally detached from reality. In this case, Lindsey Clancy claims she heard a voice, a male voice, I believe it was, telling her to kill her three kids and then to kill herself. And she carried that out. There was no question about that. And then she tried to jump off out a window, and she did such damage to herself. She's in the courtroom in a wheelchair because she's paralyzed from the waist down.
She went temporarily insane.
Yes.
Basically.
But, okay, what the prosecution is arguing, wait a minute, she told her husband to go shopping somewhere.
Yeah.
While she was doing, okay, so here's the argument for the prosecution. You had the ability to think about how you were going to do this, including sending your husband off on a shopping expedition. And that's when you carried this out. Outside the courtroom there in Massachusetts right now, she has her cheerleaders. In other words, you need to feel sorry for this woman because she was detached from reality. But there are other protesters now that have shown up saying, there's three children dead. She must pay a price for this.
Yeah, you know, two things can be true at once. You can be sympathetic with her mental state, or some Christians would say demonically possessed, you know, both. You're hearing voices. But you still got to be accountable for your actions, and you can't, especially murdering innocent children.
Yes.
If that's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And did she confess guilt to this, or?
Oh, there's no question.
Okay.
There's no question.
You said she told her husband to leave to go shopping?
Yes.
Okay. That's not psychotic. That's what
that's the prosecution.
That's a plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's not somebody that goes out and howls at the moon.
Yeah.
You know, you say, well, that person's nuts. They're crazy. They're mentally ill. You would say if you're plotting, then you're not insane.
Right.
Okay. Now, what you've done may be, quote, insane in a generic sense, but you know how we always say, well, that's crazy or that's nuts, but it doesn't mean it wasn't evil as well.
Yeah.
So
the other aspect of this, the defense has called medical experts into this because she was on multiple drugs. And there's an argument that she was let down by the medical community because she was prescribed so many drugs for her problem. So that's another aspect of this.
All right. You're listening to today's issue. Very sad story.
It is.
Tragic.
Mm.
Next story.
All right. The Washington Post, right the day or So after Charlie Kirk's assassination, fired one of their reporters. Her name was Kara Ataya. And she tweeted out some nasty things about Charlie Kirk after he was murdered. She kind of had a lot of racial twinge in her tweets, and they fired her. She went to an arbitrator, and the arbitrator ruled in her favor, and the Washington Post has been ordered to rehire this woman.
What now? I'm sorry, I was texting.
The Washington Post.
I shouldn't have been. I apologize, but I had to. Go ahead.
It's okay. The Washington Post fired a reporter by the name of Karen Ataya a day or so after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. She tweeted out, "Let's go," and a couple other anti-Charlie
Kirk. Like celebrating his murder?
Celebrating his murder.
Well, she was rightfully fired.
Well, but she hired an arbitrator who ruled in her favor, and now the Washington Post has been ordered to rehire her.
Yeah.
She's going back to work for him.
Well, listen, you can't that's you can't do that. I mean, but you can in a right to work state. In right to work states, the I know that's a union term or against forced unionization, but I'm talking about I know in a lot of states and where we live in Mississippi, you can fire somebody for any reason.
Yeah.
But in the, I guess in the District of Columbia, is that where this
New York
is? Huh?
New York. Well, no, Washington Post. I'm sorry. The New York is reporting. Washington.
District of Columbia. You can say I was unfairly fired, huh? And get your job back after celebrating the birth, the death rather of the murder of Charlie Kirk.
That is what an arbiter has ruled.
Well, the arbiter's wrong.
There's been a couple of cases. There's one or two university professors who were very critical of Charlie Kirk and somewhat celebrated his horrible death.
I remember that, yeah.
And they've won their cases too, big time. They're getting a whole lot of money from this.
Yeah.
They're arguing First Amendment rights. That's what their argument is.
All right. Next story.
Couple of crazy things happening in California.
Really?
Yeah, go figure.
Wow. Get ready.
How could it be?
Normally, sane California is bringing forth some crazy stories. Go ahead, Steve.
The Gavin Newsom has officially signed the Stop Nick Shirley Act into law in California. It is a law now which says you cannot investigate fraud in the state.
What?
I know, it's crazy. The bill was created by Attorney General's wife and co-sponsored by a group named CHIRLA, C-H-I-R-L-A. It stands for something.
What do you mean? What do you mean you can't investigate? Do you know what this must mean? Private citizens, because the whole purpose of the Attorney General's office in the state of California would be
you cannot if you're a private citizen, you cannot film or investigate. So for example, if I have a film a hospice or a littering center with no patients, I cannot say or publish that video. I cannot publish it. They claimed to be threatened by it. I face a minimum $4,000 fine, civil fine. So the fraud is officially safe in California.
I think there's going to be a challenge to that law.
I would hope.
Because are journalists exempt from this? Because to be a journalist, you don't have to be licensed. It's not a profession.
Yeah.
There's no law that defines what a journalist is. I would hope that even, secular newsrooms are going to challenge this law in court. Because we see it all the time. They investigate things. They investigate what politicians are doing, where politicians get their money, et cetera, et cetera. So this, I don't see this law standing at all. You cannot tell people they can't investigate something.
In plain English, it has four main things. It creates a safe-at-home style confidentiality program for certain immigration-supported workers and volunteers who face threats or harassments of violence. It's called a safe-at-home confidentiality program. It allows qualified participants to use a substitute address and keep their actual address private. It makes it unlawful to post a immigrants' personal information or image online, and it also prohibits selling, soliciting, or trading that person's personal information. The law does not say journalists cannot investigate immigration organizations, and it did not mention Nick Shirley by name. So it is it is for a private citizen.
I want to talk about something important. Because we got 4 minutes to go.
Yep.
The Iowa State Fair just concluded. It was August 13th through the 23rd. And they had some new foods that were presented to the fair attendees. Okay, and I wanted to go over these with y'all and see if you'd eat them. Okay. So we got, they're known for this, right? Well, state fairs are in general, but Iowa's certainly known for their
concoctions.
That's a good way to put it. So this year we had caviar top chicken nuggets. Yes or no, Fred? You eating that?
Well, I have to tell you, chicken I've had.
Chicken nuggets. Caviar top chicken nuggets.
Because it fits my budget.
Yeah.
Caviar does not fit my budget. Okay. Because I think
those So you're not eating it for financial reasons, not for taste bud reasons.
I think they give a price, don't they, Tim? Was it like 90?
Yeah, perhaps the biggest conversation starter is caviar and chicken nuggets priced at a rather eye-watering $99. Yeah, you got a point, Fred.
Go to the fair and spend $100.
I'll just take the chicken nuggets, leave the caviar off for $6.99. I'm not paying $99 for anything. Okay, so we got, Steve, you on this, yes or no? Pickle cotton candy, yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Not going to do that?
No. Cotton candies.
Listen, I like to think I'll branch out a little bit, but pickle tasting cotton, and I like pickle tape, but pickle cotton candy, that's like goes against the laws of the universe or something. I don't know. Huh? I'm with you there. All right, back to you, Fred.
Okay.
We got next up on the menu at the Iowa State Fair this year was Flamin' Hot Cheetos, breakfast burritos. Flamin' Hot Cheetos breakfast burritos. Fred, you eating that?
I need a definition of flaming hot.
Well,
it's a bag that says there is a, yeah, okay, brand of Cheetos.
There's a brand of Cheetos called Flamin' Hot.
Don't they have contests and competition over this one?
Would not be that.
It would not be that.
No, it's the bag. They pull it out of a bag of Cheetos that Cheetos has made called Flamin' Hot.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos breakfast burritos. Fred, that's all the questions you get. I just need yes or no. How much would they have to pay you to eat that?
I got to play it safe.
If they paid you $100, would you eat that?
I would take a small bite.
Okay, for $100.
Yes, with some water.
Because it might set your mouth on fire. Yeah, that's what you're worried about.
Food should not be painful.
Okay. All right, Steve, you last here. The next item that was introduced this year at the Iowa State Fair, which just concluded, was Parmesan
ice cream. Yeah, no.
You're not doing
same
that?
Same category as the pickled cotton candy. That's supposed to be sweet. Now, my wife is a cheese lover. I think Heather would do
Parmesan ice cream. That's just... Fred, you eating that?
I've never eaten it. I'm a
okay. I'm gonna
homemade
say
vanilla guy.
Of all four of those things, the caviar top chicken nuggets, the pickle cotton candy, the flaming hot Cheetos breakfast burrito, and the Parmesan ice cream should be illegal. That's just wrong.
Sounds like you're not touching anything.
I would take a shot on the hot Cheetos breakfast burritos. I'd eat me one of those.
Okay.
I wouldn't spend the money. But I would have caviar top chicken nuggets. Yeah. I wouldn't mind eating them.
Yeah, but not $99 worth.
No.
Caviar and chicken nuggets. All right. There's some other stuff here, too, but you have to. Maybe we can talk about it next time. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for listening.